Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Hello again, my good friends. We have a great show for tonight, an interesting show, a revealing show. The more I get into this, especially with what's going on in Europe, the Ukraine, I find that our American media does not give us the full story. So the stories that I present to you are a combination of what I read in the European newspapers, see on European television, and what I find and discover here in our American newspapers and on television. If you want to call in, by the way, as I'm going through the show and agree with me, disagree with me, make a comment, say whatever you please. The number's on your screen. It is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I'm going to start with an interesting topic tonight. It's different, way out different. It's a form of cannibalism. You know what cannibalism is. In the old days in Africa, and sometimes they say this happened in the Florida Keys with the Indians. They would capture a human being. They would take them someplace, boil them, and eat them. And this was considered a delicacy at the time, and that's why they did it to their enemies. Well, we have a new company here in the United States. It's called Bite Labs. Bite Labs. And they're selling, or they're telling you they are going to sell celebrity meat. And here's how it's done. They go to a celebrity, and they take some tissue samples from the celebrity, a few scrapes of skin from the arm or the leg. And then they take these tissues and from your favorite celebrity, and they put them into some kind of a machine called a biorefractor, and the tissue grows in there. And once it's grown, then they go through the usual process. By the way, they're making salami right now. They go through the usual process of curing, aging, and spicing so they can turn that meat, which comes out of the biorefractor, into fine salami. So can you imagine? You can, this sounds terrible, but you can partake of Gwyneth Paltrow, Beyonce, Sandra Bullock, Tom Cruise, George Clooney, whoever you want. And all it takes is a few scratches of skin from the arm or leg of one of these celebrities. Well, there's one problem right now. This might not be a bad idea, by the way. We're running out of food, and maybe 150 years from now, there isn't going to be enough food in the world to feed the population, and things might be done like that. I don't see this company being successful today. The problem is no celebrities are on board yet that want their tissue taken and made into meat and then made into fine salami at the present time. Bite Lab says there is a need for them, and the reason is this. With traditional farming, 70% of the farmland is used for raising animals. I didn't know that. 70% is used for raising farm animals. On the other hand, if their process were used, Bite Labs, it takes less than 1% of the farmland. Additionally, doing it this way, with celebrity tissue, there's no pesticides involved, no toxins, no growth hormones used. So they say, hey, we've got a healthy product. I share it with you. I am not recommending it. I don't find it tasty or edible from my perspective. Someone else might. Okay, I want to talk to you about food prices. We all shop. Even I in my old age, now that I'm divorced, I've become a shopper over the years. I go to Publix, the big supermarket here in Key West. And I've noticed the last 2 years the cost of groceries has gone up significantly, especially last year. Did you know that last year food prices in the United States went up 19%? Can you imagine? But you know, because you know everything cost a buck more that you bought. Everything went from $4 to $5 or $5 to $6. That's a staggering increase, 19%. Well, there are reasons for this, two great big reasons. One is that the cost of feeding cattle has gone up because we need foods like corn and soybeans to feed to the cattle, and the cost of corn and soybeans and whatever else cattle eat before they're slaughtered to fatten them up, it's gone up, the cost of feeding the cows to make them big. The other thing, and I was not aware of this, and probably you were not, or perhaps you were not, there is a growth of the middle class, not in the United States, our middle class is going down the tubes, but there is a growth of the middle class in the developing countries. Now, these people have some money now in the developing countries. So they are now demanding what the middle class had in this country. They want beef and protein. They want to eat good. They want beef and protein. So now there's a bigger demand for beef in this country and all over the world, as a result of which there's not enough beef to go around. You heard me. There is a smaller demand than the supply. The supply is smaller than the demand. And as a result, the cost of beef is going up in this country because people in Africa and other developing countries, the middle class, they want their beef. And the price is going to continue to go up. Now, those two reasons I gave you may have some validity, but not as much as the reason I'm going to give you. And this is from Lewis, from me. Four large corporations control 85% of the meat packing business. You heard me. Just like six agri-farms, Dow Chemical, Monsanto control fruits and vegetables that they grow on these big farms. With the meat business, four large corporations control 85% of the meat packing business. Cargill, Tyson Foods, JBS, and National Beef Packing. I didn't know this. I knew we had the problem with the fruits and vegetables. I didn't know we had it with beef. When you've got a small group controlling a product, there's no competition. They've got a monopoly in effect. And they raise the prices because they are in business to make money. And they don't care about you and me. We talk about welfare. The government talks about, you know, we've got too many people on welfare. Washington, I'm talking about, the Republicans. We've got to cut welfare. We've got to cut Social Security. We've got to cut Medicare. We've got to cut Medicaid. We've got to get rid of Obamacare. It's going to break us. All the things that the needy people in this country need, you know, breakfast for children, school lunches for kids whose parents can't feed them. You want to take these things away? The Republicans do. Look at the budget that Ryan came out with today, Jack Ryan. Sort of scary. I haven't read the budget. All I know is what they've been saying on TV so far. But he wants to cut on these things. Well, no one talks about cutting the welfare that the rich have. Yes, the rich in this country do have welfare programs. They're not called welfare programs. They're in the form of a subsidy. Let's start with, we call the people, number one, the oligarchs. Who are the oligarchs? Oligarch, and this is called oligarch welfare, are the rich, the privileged, the fat cats, the business magnates, people who have a lot of money, personally and or corporately. They get tax breaks. And there was a recent article this past week in the New York Times by Michael Kreiger. And everything I'm going to share with you regarding this issue came from that article. Kreiger impressed me with what he wrote. Let's start with Sam Zell. You remember Sam Zell. About a month ago, he was the multimillionaire or billionaire, and he said, you know, that the rich are being maligned and treated poorly. And he said, and I quote, "The poor need to be more like the rich," unquote, "because the poor don't understand the problems of the rich." And this guy was complaining, and he's loaded. He's not poor. He's got money up the ass, all right? I'll say it that way. Well, let me share with you now, from a corporate perspective, who the biggest welfare queens in the United States are. It's not the poor. It's the business magnates, as I told you, and the multi-international corporations. All right, let me give you five examples. Corporate jets. You know all these big companies have corporate jets. You know all the rich people in this country have corporate jets. Rich athletes have corporate jets. Well, the corporate jet have a great tax write-off program, which in effect, they write the plane off. The cost of the plane is written off in 1 to 5 years. That means that they don't have to pay taxes. After they pay it off, they don't have to pay taxes. Subsidies, they can write the cost of the plane off on their taxes in 1 to 5 years, then they fly free. Same thing with yachts. I mean, you and I don't have a yacht. And I'm not talking about, you know, a 28-foot sailboat. I'm talking about those big $15, $20 million operations or the $3 or $4 million boats. We see a lot of those down here in Key West. Well, they have a mortgage interest deduction just like you have on your home. The law originally when it came out for this mortgage interest deduction was to apply to help middle-class home buyers. However, those people in Congress, okay, in the House of Representatives over the years, listening to the lobbyists for the rich, enlarged that deduction, that mortgage interest deduction, to apply also to beach homes, second homes, and to yachts. All right, now moving on also. There's the hedge funds. We hear about hedge funds all the time, and we hear about private equity. Well, they get subsidized also. There are outrageous tax loopholes, and they're called, with regard to the hedge funds and private equity, they are called, and I quote, carried interest, carried interest. So the people with the highest earnings, because of this carried interest, pay the lowest taxes. Now, that has to be a subsidy to the rich. Then we've got the American banks. We bailed them out, remember? And they're making a ton of money today, but they're doing nothing for the middle what was the middle class or the poor in this country. They are taking care of themselves. I don't have to tell you this. We all know this. Well, what's happening? How are they subsidized by our government? Our government has promised, in effect, that they will not permit the banks to go down. They will rescue them again if there is a problem. As a result, when the banks, because banks borrow money from other banks, okay, when the banks go out to borrow money, they pay very low interest. They pay less than 1%, 1% at best, 1.5%. That's all they pay for their money. And then they go out. They don't generally loan it to you and me. They don't loan it to Main Street. They invested in bank securities, sure stuff, that's going to pay them 4, 5, 6% at best. They turn this money over twice a year, and they pay it back. They get 5%, turn it back to the pay back the government with 1% interest on it, and it's net, net, net profit to them all the time. They can't lose, and the other banks let them borrow money at this rate. It is estimated that $83 billion a year is given to the banks in this type loan program. It goes to the largest banks. Then we've got tax breaks that a city and county will generally give to a new business. There's a major industry, a major corporation. Let's say won't be Key West because we're in the tourist business, but let's say Scranton, Pennsylvania, off the top of my head. There's a new industry that's willing to come into Scranton, Pennsylvania. But so that they will come, they need accommodations. No real estate taxes for 10 years. No sales taxes if they have it for 5 years. And they get all these tax benefits, which they really don't need, because they're making so much money or they would not be building the new plant. Are you with me? But they get these tax benefits, whereas the people who are paying the taxes because of their little homes and they go out and buy their groceries every week, they get no tax benefit. And that's worth, by the way, these tax breaks the corporations get to come into cities like Scranton, Pennsylvania, get tax breaks amounting to about $80 billion a year. Well, what am I going to say? Here's what really bothers me about this. And you're going to think, well, maybe he's wrong. I don't know. I think I'm right. We have, at the present time, the wealthiest Congress in the history of the United States. The members of Congress are the wealthiest we have ever had. We have more millionaires in Congress today than we have ever had in the history of the United States. And these guys, they became millionaires when they went to Congress, most of them. They were not millionaires before, which says something about the system. I mean, how can you go to Congress, you're going to make 170 grand a year or so with some perks, and all of a sudden you become a millionaire or a multimillionaire after 2, 3, 4 years. Something is wrong. Now, where do they get this money from? I'm not saying they take bribes. They are honorable men. They would not do that. But they do get benefits besides the money in their accounts for their next election. They get the trips. They probably are told buy the stock. I don't know what they do. All I know is they go there less than a millionaire, and they come home, most of them, millionaires, and most multimillionaires, which means something is wrong and something stinks in Washington. Now, when these guys are in Washington, they don't talk about, you know, taking away the tax the write-offs for the corporate jets, the mortgage interest deduction on the yachts, the carrier interest on hedge funds and private equity funds, the subsidies for American banks in the form of cheap interest to borrow money. They never talk about doing away with those things. What do they talk about doing away with? Our newfound millionaires or wannabe millionaires? They talk about getting rid of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, the things that help the poor. They want to cut aid to the poor. They never talk about reducing the public assistance, the welfare, to the rich. We're going to move over now. A man called Lou Harris. Lou Harris is an American icon, very famous man. He's got to be about 15 years older than me, and I've traced him. I've lived with him, in effect, that means through my life. He is now 93. He has retired to Key West, Florida. Lou Harris has lived in Key West for many years. He was a pollster. You know, he predicted elections and things like that. He was the only pollster at one time. Now we got a multitude of pollsters that everything is polled. He used to poll elections and things like that. It was never the polls of what was taking place was not as minute as it is now. There are polls every day. We hear them on TV. Major polls. That's all we had back in his day. He was also a political commentator for the Washington Post and the Chicago Tribune. Now, as I said, he's a full-time Key West resident. He gives a talk once a week here in Key West, once a year. He gives a talk once a year in Key West, and he tells us what he thinks. Now, he's 93. This is a respected elderly gentleman, respected. And here's what he said in his talk last week, and I quote, he said, "The forces of government destruction are at our gates. The forces of government destruction are at our gates." He also said, "There is a," and I quote, "coup to destroy the United States government. There's a coup to destroy the United States government." And he comes out and he says, "I blame the Republican right. I blame the Republican right. They are big business, big corporations, and very, very rich people. And they want to bring down government as we know it in the United States today. They want it to be a creature that helps them and not the general population. In other words, they want this country to be for the 1% and not the 99%. Smart man, Lou Harris. People should listen to him. Something occurred last week, that I think is absolutely terrible. It's going to change the face of college sports. The National Labor Relations Board rendered a decision last week. The football team at Northwestern University went before the National Labor Relations Board, and they said, "Hey, we're on scholarship. We're on athletic scholarship. We, therefore, are employees of the university because they're paying us through a scholarship, and we play football for them, and they earn something. And we are employees," and the National Labor Relations Board agreed with them, and unless that decision is overturned on appeal, and I don't think it is, it means that all college sports, male and female, football, basketball, lacrosse, I don't care what it is, if they are on athletic scholarships, their employees, can you imagine, with all due respect to the young, 18 and 19-year-olds unionizing and demanding higher wages? The banter, the talk on television in the paper right now is these athletes, if this holds up, are probably going to have to be paid $50,000 to $75,000 a year for going to school and playing. Whatever happened? You got a free education. I wish somebody had given me room, board, tuition, and pocket money. That is a free ride to college. Then I wouldn't have had to bust my ass like most of you to work my way through, which didn't hurt me and didn't hurt you. But it's wrong. You give them a free education, you shouldn't have to pay them. The problem is, and this has been coming, the schools make so much money off television today. They make so much money off television today that there appears, and there probably is, an injustice. The Final Four is going to be played this weekend, I think Sunday and Tuesday. Those four teams in the Final Four will receive at least $4 million apiece from television. Lots of money. Now, I don't know what, for example, basketball universities or colleges make today, but when I was involved at Syracuse University back in the mid-'80s, okay, in the mid-1980s, I was chairman of the Board of Visitors at the law school. I was privy to what's going around. When our basketball team, which has always been pretty good, played on net and were on national television, it was good for $500,000 each game to the university. When we were on regional TV, it was worth $250,000. My God, that's 25 years ago. What is it today? These schools are making a ton of money, so the kids say we should have a piece of the action. It's right and it's wrong, and I just feel it changes the whole complexion of college sports, and it should not be, because these kids aren't suffering when they go to school now. Let me tell you right now, the athletes are well treated, okay? They don't even have to study. They have special classes for them, special degrees in most of these institutions. For example, University of Connecticut graduated last year or the year before 8% of their basketball players. They're in the Final Four this weekend. Connecticut University graduated 8% of their basketball players. And these guys go on, some of them, to make multi-million dollars right away playing basketball. I don't know what's right or wrong. It just doesn't sit right with me. Today's April Fool's Day. I want to tell you about an April Fool, because this is the way this gentleman was described today in the news releases which came out. His name is Lawrence Lockman. He is a state representative in Maine. He's a Republican in Maine in the state legislature. He's been a whack up there for about 30 years. Whether in the legislature or not, he's been active politically. He's a public figure, and he's prone to say what he thinks. Now, he said something in 1990 that's come back to slap him in the face this month. Last month, rather. And what did he say? He said, basically, if men should be able to rape women if abortion is legal. If abortion is legal, a man should be able to rape a woman. His words were, and I quote specifically, if a woman has a right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength, means rape, to force himself on a woman? And the reasoning was quite simple from his perspective. Rapists, whatever they do in the pursuit of their sexual freedom, forcing a woman to have sex, doesn't result, in most instances, in the death of a person. The woman doesn't die. On the other hand, in every instance with an abortion, there is a death. Well, he's been knocking gays, abortion rights, women, HIV/AIDS people, very negative with regard to women over the years. And finally, last month, the Democrats in Maine, it took them 30 years, asked that he resign from the state Senate. And what he immediately did is, I don't know why they waited so long, he went on TV and he said, look, I'm sorry. I said those things years ago. I have nothing against people because of their gender or sexual orientation. He regrets his comments over the years. I don't know, and I couldn't figure out why they waited so long. But this guy, Lawrence Lachman, from Maine, is part of the GOP, the Republican War on Women. And they should throw him out. He probably isn't going to be thrown out. But isn't that terrible? And he is an April Fool. Okay, I'm going to talk quickly about, it's going to take me a little bit here, this is important what I'm going to say now. I'm going to talk about the funding in Ukraine. Ukraine needs $27, $28 billion immediately. The European Union, the United States, and the International Monetary Fund, and note that 60% of the International Monetary Fund is the United States, have agreed to give them this money. This is the Ukraine, the people in opposition to Moscow. But they want in return the imposition immediately of strong austerity measures. That's the condition for the money. You're going to have strong austerity measures like they did in Greece, Spain, and Italy. And look what they did to these countries. Now, what are we talking about, austerity measures? Immediately, there will be, this is terrible, a cut in pensions. There are governmental pensions. And the people on pension average $160 a month in the Ukraine. They will immediately be cut 50% to $80 a month. Isn't that terrific? They cut in half that. People don't need as much money in countries like this to live as we do here. I know from my travels in the last two summers in Europe. The other thing is they want to increase the price of gasoline. They're going to put a tax on gasoline immediately of 50% of the present cost of gasoline. Can you imagine? Increase the price of gasoline by 50% immediately. This is to guarantee repayment to the Euro Union, the United States, and the International Monetary Fund. These are the worldwide bankers. They aren't just the whores in the United States. They are the whores of the world who are imposing themselves for greed, for money, on a small country like the Ukraine. Instead of loaning the Ukraine money, as was done many years ago to other countries when they needed help, and a reasonable rate of return without conditions such as they're talking about now, austerity issues, that's how things were done. They don't do it that way anymore. The bankers are bankers. They're hard-ass. They want their money back. They're going to guarantee their repayment, and this is what they do, things like this. I can't understand it. They're terrible. And what else do they want? They're immediately inflation will rise because whatever they're going to do with the money by 14% without any increase in wages. Okay, plus there's going to be an excise tax. The excise tax is going to be increased 39%. Tax on alcohol, tobacco is going to go up 31%. Beer 42%. And 80,000 people within 1 year must be laid off who are civil servants in police enforcement. 80,000 people. Now, isn't that a disgrace? I think it's an absolute shame. And it's going to happen. These people need the money. And when you need money, you take it and you figure you'll work it out afterwards how you're going to pay it back. And you know what's going to happen. They're not going to be able to pay it back. We're going to have another Greece. That's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week and listen again. The show is archived. I know most of you, at least 2,000 of you, listen to the archive of the show. I want you to know we're on YouTube also now, but YouTube doesn't get posted for at least 5 or 6 days after the show. But you can catch it either place, archive or YouTube. I thank you very much for joining me tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Look forward to talking with you next week again.